Well, if you're one of those that follows the lectionary, we're not using the propers for today. We're celebrating the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, who lived about 800 years ago. He changed the church and the world back then. His message may be even more relevant now. Of course, he lived long, long before all our polarizing politics. So maybe we can hear what Francis teaches about creation without painting ourselves into a red or blue or debating corner. St. Francis loved every bit of creation, not only plants and animals, but also bugs and fiery spheres in the sky. He would have hugged the sun and moon if he could have. Basically, he proclaimed that we don't need to go looking for God. The presence and spirit of God is everywhere, in every molecule on earth. Each created entity, each little flower that opens, each bird that sings, all purple-headed mountains and every river running by is a manifestation of the divine will to be, an incarnation of holy presence. We don't need to spend our energy to find God for ourselves or hoping that God will find us. God is not only all around us, but dwells in every fiber of our being. According to Francis, creation is something we should care for as if we were caring for God's stuff for God's sake. St. Francis's love of God's creation is in stark contrast with other people in the church who insist that creation is fallen and rotten and doomed. According to them, creation is something we want to get away from. So why spend any energy trying to preserve it? Well, did God give up on creation when Adam and Eve ate the apple? Certainly not, according to the Bible. In all of our lessons from today, including the words of Jesus, we are assured that God created for and cares for all creation right here and right now. According to Isaiah, the first reading, who spoke God's word to God's people 2,700 years ago, 1,500 years before St. Francis, the future of our planet, the future that God promises, is a time of wisdom and understanding, planning and strength, knowledge and devotion to God and God's ways of justice. The poor and needy will have a fair shake and violence will stop. Anyone else want to live in that world? Humans and animals will live in peace. Wolves and lambs, leopards and goats, calves and lions, cows and bears, and little children will be safe around snakes. No one on God's holy mountain will harm each other, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. I want to sign up for that place. This is the perfection of creation that God intends for everything, people and animals, mountains and moons, and all the heavenly bodies. It was the vision and teaching that St. Francis not only taught but lived. What would it look like if we lived that way too? What would it look like if we asked ourselves each day what was more important, our convenience or caring for God's creation? Are we the only creatures in the history of the world that are important, or should we consider the impact of our actions on the creatures that are supposed to come after us? If you think this is a foolish thought and maybe too hard, I'm here to tell you that most of you already know how to do this because you have cared for either a child or an animal or both. Choosing to care for helpless creatures is a daily exercise of forsaking convenience and ease for the sake of another human being. Have you heard about Betsy the cow? Over a year ago, on a summer day outside Anchorage, Alaska, Betsy was in a pen with a bunch of year-old calves, waiting to take part in a kids' rodeo, a cow-riding event for little tykes. A gate was left open, and Betsy bolted into the Alaska woods, full of bears, ravines, and winter, a very, very long winter, no place for a cow. Also, Frank Koloski, who was organizing this little tykes rodeo event, had borrowed Betsy for the rodeo season, and Frank is a straight-up honest guy who wanted to get Betsy back to her rightful owner in good shape. Scores of folks joined Frank all summer and fall to search for Betsy before the snows came. By the time the snows began to fall, Frank assumed Betsy was a goner. But then hikers, bikers, and skiers started spotting a black cow in the bare, snowy Alaska woods. This is not a common sight. So Betsy got a Facebook page where folks could post sightings. And even though immediately after posting, Frank would run out to look for her, Betsy eluded everyone, not only through the winter, but through the next summer. Winter's coming again, and Frank is still searching for Betsy. Why? Well, like I said, borrowed cow. He wants to get her to her rightful home. But also, it's about the cows themselves. Frank sees his cows as family. He has other cows on his farm. He says sometimes he kicks it back and goes into the pasture with these absolutely massive bulls, lie down in the summer shade, including a big one called Blue Bayou. And Frank lies on the bull's warm belly. Frank, a totally stalwart Alaskan who wouldn't be caught dead without his cowboy hat on his head, cherishes those moments, saying, "To show your own emotion toward an animal that's so majestic and outweighs you by so much, and that animal is being so vulnerable to allow you to do that, that's trust right there. Phew, it's awesome." Frank insists he'll never give up searching for Betsy. What has Betsy done to earn Frank's devotion to her? Absolutely nothing. She ran away. Frank is sacrificing his convenience, his sanity, because the cows are his family. Frank's not weird, by the way. He has a human family he loves, too. There seems to be plenty of room in Frank Kolosky's heart. Just so, God created a universe and everything in it for God's family, for relationships of mutual care, giving, receiving, tending, cherishing, maybe even lying on each other's bellies in the summer sun. Relationships where we are awed by the connection we make with another being, often human, but not necessarily. Indeed, Francis taught we should have a family relationship with the sun and the moon and the earth, as well as the birds and the beasts, the trees and the flowers, as well as the cows and, yes, people, all people. God's vision is for all these manifestations of divine love, all these incarnations of holy presence, to care for and be cared for as God cares for us. It's not always the most convenient thing to do. But love is worth a bit of trouble. Indeed, we've given God a good bit of trouble over the years, haven't we? Yet our Heavenly Father continues to love us because we're God's family. And there's plenty of room in God's heart. How should we respond to this awesomeness? We might start by taking seriously that all of us on the earth today are only borrowing our Father's world for a season. To be straight up, guys and gals, we, like Frank, should give the earth back to its rightful owner in good shape.